You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Alexa Datt, and today we're talking Phillies baseball. We bring in our Phillies reporter for MLB.com, Todd Zielecki. Todd, let's go ahead and start with the biggest name being talked about right now this offseason, the reigning home run champ, Giancarlo Stanton. Phillies were brought up as a possible landing spot for Stanton. What's the likelihood he plays in a Phillies jersey next season?
I guess anything can happen, but frankly, I would be very, very, very surprised if that happened. The Phillies basically are going to be linked to any big time player available in a trade or free agency, because they have only one player, you know, committed to a contract next season. That's Odubel Herrera. So they have their big market team with tons of money to spend. But, so Stanton's been linked to the Phillies ever since the July 31st trade deadline. I was told over the summer that, you know, that it's unlikely for a lot of reasons. You know, first being he's owed $295 million on the rest of his deal. And, the Phillies obviously would have to give up a ton of prospects to maybe get that dollar figure down. Even then, the Marlins might not take on that much, you know, in terms of paying off some of the deal. And I think, quite frankly, the Phillies just don't see they're at that point yet. And if they have the choice of trading a ton of prospects and then paying a guy $295 million, or maybe possibly giving Bryce Harper $295 million next year in the free agent market without giving up any prospects, that to them, I think, is much more appealing. So, again, anything can happen. You know, one crazy phone call could get this thing going. But I've been told over and over that the Phillies are not going to. It's definitely not expected that they'll be in a serious running for the first Stanton.
Phillies have been pretty gun shy recently, giving players more than a 1 year deal. Is that going to change, you believe, this offseason?
Yeah, I think it will, particularly in the starting pitching market. I don't think they're going to be going after the 1 year rental guys so much anymore, but I also don't think they're going to be going after, you know, giving Jake Arrieta a 6-year, $150 million contract. You know, same thing with Stanton. I don't think they're there with starting pitching either. But I do think that they could go more of a three-year deal, if possible, on some sort of starting pitcher that might be a little bit more durable. Might be a little bit of a better shot, in terms of helping the rotation. But, it's funny. Like I said earlier, I think agents and teams are going to almost instinctively float the Phillies' name out there because they have so much money to spend, even when it's not a realistic option. I read the other day that, somebody reported that the Phillies are in the market for a first baseman, which is quite frankly ridiculous because they have Rhys Hoskins at first base and they are absolutely not in the first baseman market from what I've been told many, many times.
Let's talk about Rhys Hoskins. Postseason awards were handed out this week. He finished fourth in NL Rookie of the Year. What's that mean for his ceiling for this team?
He had a tremendous, tremendous year. Obviously he came up in early August and, he was on pace, like in a historical run pace for a while. I mean, he's the guy right now. Going forward, he might still play a little bit of left field, I guess, on occasion. But in terms of his standing on this team, how the team feels about him, et cetera, he's the guy. There's no doubt about it. He's the guy, and they have high hopes for him that he's going to be able to kind of pick up where he left off last year. He struggled a little bit at the end. I think he got a little bit tired, playing the longest season of his professional career, but. He's very patient at the plate. He can walk as much as he strikes out. Nowadays everybody strikes out and nobody walks. He's kind of the opposite of that. So I think the Phillies are really hoping next season he can just show up and roll him out and have him be the cleanup hitter from game one to game 162.
So not in the market for a first baseman because they have Rhys Hoskins, but they are in the market for a lefty starter. You mentioned that they haven't had a left-handed pitcher start a game since September of 2016, which seems a little odd, but 100% true. So this rotation needs a southpaw. Where do you think they're going to turn?
I really don't know how they're going to address the starting pitching. They actually, I guess it can be said about most teams, but it's really true in the case of the Phillies. They can obviously go out and sign somebody on the free agent market. They have that option because they have a ton of money to spend. So if they like a left-hander out there, they can go get them that way. But also, they have a lot of depth in their farm system. They have a lot of young pitching in the farm system, and they kind of have a glut of middle infielders at the big league level and AAA level. And at the big league level, they have Freddy Galvis, Cesar Hernandez, J.P. Crawford, and Scott Kingery. So it wouldn't surprise me this offseason to see the Phillies trade either Freddy Galvis or Cesar Hernandez, maybe put in a young pitcher or two to help them acquire a more legitimate starting pitcher. So, if they can get a left-hander, I think they would definitely love to make that happen just to give teams a little bit of a different look. But I also feel like the Phillies front office, they're less concerned about that. And if they can just get a guy that they feel they can go out there over the next 2, 3, 4 years and give them 180, 210 innings and be competitive, they would rather just take the guy that can do that. If that's a right-hander, so be it.
Who's the one guy in the Phillies farm system right now that fans are wringing their hands to see come up in the majors, put on a major league uniform?
I think Scott Kingery. He's a second baseman. J.P. Crawford came up in September, and I think he showed enough that he's going to be the I think there's a very good chance he'll be the opening day shortstop next year. But Kingery is a guy, he really does it all. He hits for average. He's got some pop. He's great defensively. He's got a lot of speed. He's a high on-base percentage guy. And fans wanted him up last season, but he's not 40-man eligible yet. So the Phillies weren't going to put him on the 40-man when they have a lot of other people that they need to protect. So they didn't call him up this year. And, because of, service time, dealings and, in terms of when a guy can get called up, if they wait, the first month of the season to call him up, they can have him under team control for an entire extra season. So I actually think Scott Kingery might not be up until early May, assuming he plays well the first month of the season in AAA. But I think that's absolutely the guy that fans want to see. And that's why I think Cesar Hernandez is in play, because I think the Phillies are fully expecting him, Scott Kingery, to be called up at some point early next season.
All right, fans, go get your jerseys. You heard it here first. All right, let's talk about the new manager, Gabe Kapler. He's compiled his staff to come along for the ride, as well as his guns. He's bringing his guns, too. And by guns, I mean his left and right arm, because this guy is massive. And it's going to be pretty interesting to see him in a big league uniform there in the dugout. But anyway, let's break down some of the new guys that he's brought along with him. We're not all familiar with some of the faces and names that he has signed on for his coaching staff.
Yeah, John Mailey is really the new, the new guy. He's the new hitting coach. Matt Stairs did a great job last season in his first year as Phillies hitting coach. But when they decided not to bring back Pete McCannon, Phillies GM Matt Klentak told the coaching staff, "Hey, listen, there's a chance we could rehire you, but if you find another employment opportunity, definitely you're encouraged to go out and do that." So Matt Stairs went and took the job in San Diego. Didn't want to wait around for a job that might not be offered to him. And the Cubs got let John Mailey go after the season because they struggled a little bit in the postseason, and the Phillies got him on board. And what's interesting about that is, he's worked with a young Astros team, he's worked with a young Cubs team, and now he's going to be working with a young Phillies team. And so I think it's kind of a good fit for the Phillies. I thought Stairs was fantastic, but this seems like a pretty good alternative here because he does have experience working with young hitters, so that part he should be able to do without any out any bumps in the road or anything like that. And then Dusty Wathen, he's been brought on board as the third base coach. He was a finalist for the Phillies' his managerial job. He's been the AAA manager. He's been the manager of the Phillies farm system for years and years. So that's a good addition. I'm glad to see Dusty get that opportunity. I know he has big league managerial aspirations, and quite frankly, the way the game is going right now, if he had stayed in AAA, it would have been harder to get that big league managerial job. So making him the third base coach, he'll be a little bit more on the map than maybe he was in the past. And Rick Kranitz is staying on as he's either going to be the assistant pitching coach or the pitching coach. I'm not sure which way it's going to go. He's going to be one or the two. I guess they're still interviewing other pitching coach possibilities. So that's kind of an interesting thing. It's kind of a, you could be the pitching coach unless we find somebody else that we like. So he's kind of in this weird in-between situation where he doesn't know what kind of job he's going to have. But then the Phillies, I think they're going to announce a few more guys by the end of the week. So they're still very early in the process, but so far I think they've made some pretty good hires.
Hey, Todd, what's the buzz around Gabe Kapler and the team right now? Has he talked about reaching out to any of the guys, or have the guys gave any reaction about how they feel about how, you know, he could possibly, you know, connect with them, or what he's going to bring to the team?
Yeah, I think he has reached out to a lot of guys, text messaging. He's a, for everything I've heard of him when he was the Dodgers farm director, he's a big text message guy, you know, reaching out to people, making sure they feel connected to him. So I have no doubt he's making a headway in terms of reaching out to players and just introducing himself and making sure that they have his number in case they have any issues or any questions or whatnot. I think the players are excited about it. I think they're intrigued. I think, like a lot of people, because Gabe is such an interesting guy, I think they're like anybody else. They're kind of like, I wonder what this is going to be like. You know, you hear a lot of crazy stories about his nutrition and fitness. You know, you wonder how adamant he's going to be or energetic he's going to be about it in a big league clubhouse. You know, you wonder how players are going to respond to that, if they're going to be open to it, if they're going to be like, ah, I just kind of want to do my own thing. So I think there's kind of like this cautious excitement of the unknown. It's certainly more interesting than the standard managerial hire of just a regular old baseball guy. Gabe is not a regular old baseball guy by any means. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see how he, you know, once spring's training starts, how things get rolling and how players respond to him.
Todd, if a Phillies fan asks you what the chances are this team is playing meaningful baseball in September, you would say, well, the chances are what?
I would say the chances are low. And I say that, you know, it's not impossible. You know, if the offense continues to progress like it did late last season, the offense should be better. You know, if they make a couple good starting pitching acquisitions, you never know, right? You never know. But I look at the kind of the rebuilds of the Cubs and the Astros a few years ago. You know, the first two seasons after the Cubs hired Theo Epstein and the Astros hired Jeff Luhnow, the Cubs and the Astros were absolutely terrible, much like the Phillies were the first two seasons under Matt Klentak. And then that third season for the Cubs and Astros in their rebuild, both teams were like in that 70, 72, 75 win range. So they were still, they'd improved, but not enough to really make a postseason run. So I kind of feel like the Phillies are on a similar pace. I think this season, you know, you would hope that the Phillies would be anywhere between a 71 to a 76 win team. And then 2019, that fourth year, in the case of the Cubs and the Astros, they were both postseason teams. And so for the Phillies, 2019, I think, is the time that going, you know, if we're talking at this point next year, I would say, yes, they should be competing for a postseason berth. But certainly they will see, I do expect to see some improvement this year. They should be far more competitive and far more exciting to watch.
So based on all of your calculations, what you're really saying is you believe the Phillies are going to win the World Series in 2021.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm going to go full Sports Illustrated and make that prediction.
Love it.
Hopefully I'll be as smart as them.
Yeah, and you'll be a star too, because Ben Reiter's turned into an absolute star. All right, Todd, thank you so much. Really appreciate you joining us. We'll talk next week.